In this season of Love Your Life, we focus on the Quran with the ultimate goal of creating a strong bond with the Holy Book for us to reflect and connect one ayah at a time. I am Maya Al-Saeed, and welcome to Love Your Life. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, Most Gracious, Most Merciful, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His peace and blessings upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him and his companions. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlal 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear listeners, as always, it's really an honor to be on Oman FM on this program, which is, as I always say, it's your program, Love Your Life. Talking about the Quran, subhanAllah, I always feel so blessed to be able to have this opportunity. And I was telling my guest earlier that Allah chose me. It could have been anybody, but it chose me. And it chooses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Astaghfirullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses all the guests that come to the show, not me. And I'm honored, alhamdulillah, to welcome another guest to the studio today. Abla, her name is Hannat Al-Riyami. Hannat, today, oh Allah, today may Allah help me. It seems I haven't eaten proper suhoor. I'm mixing up everything. Hannat Al-Hinai. But I'm going to call her Abla Hannat throughout the episode because just in a form of respect. So Abla Hannat, salam alaykum, rahmatullah.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sorry. It's all right. And I forgive me for mispronouncing your name. It's not starting off very well, but inshallah, it will end up being a beautiful
no
episode.
Worries. No worries.
I want to remind everybody that this is a live show. You're more than welcome to join us by calling 2460-2058, 2460-2058. You should have this number saved by now. And I want to also remind you that by calling and participating as a way of saying thank you, today, inshallah, I'll be giving away two copies of the Quran. And today's, the Quran that you'll be receiving is the clear Quran. I talked about it in one of the episodes, the different Qurans that I recommend. So this is the clear Quran, only the English version. So there's no Arabic in it, but it still can be very helpful to understand the Quran. Abla Hannat, it's an honor to have you here. Jazakallah khair for coming. And I was very excited, and so many people, when I said I'm having Abla Hannat, they're like, you're having Abla Hannat? Like, yes. They were all very excited that I was having you as a guest. MashaAllah. So I have a feeling that bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this episode is going to be a beautiful one. So I'll start with the first question that I think I personally would like to know. يعني, your beginnings with the Quran, how was it? Has it been like, you know, most... as a childhood, and you know, I'm just interested to know how it started for you.
Excuse me. So, in the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most gracious, we praise Allah for everything. And I'd like to start by saying that it is indeed, as many, the Quran starts with the childhood, and that's when it becomes strong, inshallah. It started with halaqas or circles at home with our father.
MashaAllah.
That's when, and that was at the time when there were no schools in Oman. And our late father, Allah Rahmu, used to give us lessons, Quran lessons at home.
MashaAllah.
And that's how my love of Quran started. And I always tell, well, not everybody, but I always say this, that the knowledge I have in Quran, it's yani from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from my father. That's how it started, and that's how it built up. Because it started from the childhood, excuse me, but it continued until into my teens, until Thanawiyya, you know, after secondary
school. So during this whole time, al-Marhum, he had these halaqas ongoing, or you mean yourself gradually, يعني you learned more about the Quran in school.
I learned gradually, but at the same time, he continued having them during Ramadan. يعني every Ramadan, he would collect us, and he will have this halaqa at home.
MashaAllah, so beautiful. I think as a parent, it's something that we should be doing with our children.
Yes.
Ramadan or not Ramadan, because it's a beautiful, you know, it's a beautiful thing when I ask you, how did you start? And you say, my father.
Yes.
Or my mother.
Yes.
You know, it's, yani, Allah, when he grants us children, he gives us these children. This is our duty to pass
Absolutely.
The Quran to
Absolutely.
Them. So, mashallah, hani'an lah.
Yes. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen, because that was the message that I was going to give as well to, you know, our parents, you know, the parents, the mothers and the fathers, specifically the fathers.
Why so?
Because the mothers are always there at home. Mm. And, you know, in some aspects, some people think like it's the role of the mother to teach, to raise, to bring up and to transfer knowledge. Many people, that's how they think.
Mm. Because and they say, al-ummu madrasa.
Yes. And they think that the role of the father is to provide, to bring.
Whatever, money, whatever you need to
yes.
live. Yani.
They still have those things, those thoughts, subhanAllah, some people. Mm. Although the mother will be also working and bringing and everything, but at the end, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Yeah, it's
so,
the same.
So
yeah.
Your advice is?
My advice is for the father to be part of the journey of the children's upbringing, specifically in the Quranic and religious teachings.
Mm.
We have those fathers who will take their children, مثلاً, for example, to the mosque, and but after some time they forget or they get busy, and especially for the fathers who work outside Muscat, for example, or away from their homes, and they don't see their children more frequent. I think they need, it will be very good, very effective, especially we're talking about Quran now. It will be very effective. They have specific times known by the children and themselves that they sit together and study Quran or go through.
You know what I was thinking? Some men might say, yeah, but I'm not that well educated. I myself don't know. Then learn.
Yes.
But very simple. Yani, we should stop making excuses.
Absolutely.
For ourselves, because we have not, I've been busy with kitha kitha. Okay, then make time to learn Quran, and whatever little you learn, share it with your children.
Absolutely. It doesn't have to be an encyclopedia of Quran.
Subhanallah.
بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً.
Aywa.
It's just one verse.
Aywa.
You know, whatever you learn outside, whatever you learn from the masjid, whatever you learn from reading, listening, come back and have that halaqa discussion with your children.
Mm. Another thing as well is, because we're talking about children and this, we shouldn't be ashamed when our children ask us something and we don't know the answer, especially when it comes to religion. Say, okay, let's find out together. Instead of like, I don't know, go ask your mother, go ask him. You know, just, oh, it's okay, mashallah, very interesting question. I don't know. Let's do the research together. Let's learn together. Yes. There's no shame in learning.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, when I think of learning, I think of the first ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Iqra. It's not only read, it's read and learn. And we discussed this in previous episodes.
Mm.
But it's such a huge, powerful word for us humans to continue learning, especially when it comes to our faith.
And it's an order. It's a command.
Mm.
Read. It's not like it's an optional thing.
So,
that's how we see it.
Yes.
And that's how I tell people when we talk about reading. It's not an optional. Don't think that reading Quran or reading or learning, it's something optional. It's read at least, I don't know if I can say this to the bare minimum, but at the end you have to read. You have to read. It's read. It's like aqim salah, no?
Mm.
Perform your prayer.
It's the same thing.
To zakah.
SubhanAllah.
How come this is separate from that? You know, it's not. It's the same.
Mm. Very true. SubhanAllah. What I forgot to mention about Abla Hennet is that she is also a volunteer at the Islamic Center at the Grand Mosque. And I'm sure even there, you know, seeing these people and talking about the Quran, I always wonder how the feedback that you get from somebody, for example, who has taken the Quran and read it.
Let me give you a recent experience that I had last week during the Ta'aruf event.
Yes.
That was sponsored or conducted by the Ministry of Awqaf. I was standing by the Islamic Information Center table, which we have books that we give away. And one of these books was the Quran. So whenever we keep the Quran on the table, just turn around and come back.
They're and gone.
It's gone. How many copies you keep on the table? They are gone.
You have to keep refilling them.
You have to hide some of them.
Hide?
Seriously. If you intend to give them to specific people, let's say new Muslims. Because by the time, or those who want to learn about Islam, because by the time you find somebody comes to you and say, I'm not a Muslim and I'm interested in reading the Quran, if you don't hide some copies,
you'll have none left.
No.
It seems to be not a bestseller, but people widely want to read it, subhanAllah.
Yes. And one lady came on the table, or to the table, and she was not a Muslim. Actually, she was a Hindu. She said that she was a Hindu, and she was, you know, putting our fellow sisters, I forgot the name of the thing.
The adornment, I don't know if it's safe to call above the, between the eyes, you know what they're usually known for.
Yes. So she was putting that, and she did say that she was a Hindu. So she asked for a copy of a transliteration of the Quran. Not translation.
Transliteration.
Transliteration of the Quran.
And the difference between the two is the translation is, understood. It's what is in Arabic is translated to English. Transliteration is how to read the Arabic written in English.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes. That's what she wanted. So I asked, I said, you want translation or transliteration? It was myself and my colleague standing together, and we both wanted to confirm that she wanted transliteration and not translation. I remember that my colleague took a copy of the translation, English translation, and she gave it to her. She said, no, I want transliteration. I said, why do you want transliteration? What are you going to do with it? It's how you read Quran, you know, how the pronunciation of the words of the Quran in English, what are you going to do with it?
Mm.
And you're not a Muslim. She said, and something really made us think, you know, she said, it's when I feel down, when I feel sad, when I feel,
lost.
I want to read this. Super. And I feel, because when I read this, I found out that I feel comfortable. Come.
SubhanAllah.
I said, you read the Arabic in English, of course.
Yeah, to translate.
This is Quran, and you're Hindu. And you say that it makes you feel comfortable. She said, yes. Unfortunately, we didn't have the transliteration at the time.
Mm.
So I promised her that if she comes to the Islamic Information Center, we'll help her find one.
If not, I will talk later. I can get, inshallah, a copy.
Inshallah.
Then I think, do I have a No, I don't have a transliteration.
You have a translation and not transliteration.
SubhanAllah. Wow. And I'm thinking this lady, yani, is that of another faith.
Of another faith. That's a thing.
And here she is saying that she finds comfort in the words of Allah. And she doesn't want to read it in English. She wants to say it in Arabic. SubhanAllah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, with that, I'll leave you with that thought, and we'll take a short break and be right back, inshallah.
You can call us on 24602058. We would love to hear from you.
Welcome back to Love Your Life on Oman FM. This is Maya El Saeed. With me in the studio is Abla Hannat. And we are talking about how, if you just joined us, we were just talking about how a woman of a different faith asked for transliteration of the Quran because she said she found comfort when she read it if she was going through some uneasiness in her life. And I found that so fascinating. Subhanallah, that a woman of a different faith would find that. And yani she's connecting, even though she doesn't understand.
Yes.
But the heart, subhanAllah, al-fitra. Mm-hmm. What is fitra, Abla Hannat, in English? The, like your default. I don't know how to say it in English. But yani, we'll find out, inshallah, what fitra means. Subhanallah. And so now, Abla Hannat, yani, you've started at a very young age with al-marhum, your dad, who was teaching you. How did it progress through your life after that? Mm-hmm. How did you come to be the Abla Hannat that everybody knows and loves today?
MashaAllah, alhamdulillah. So the halaqat, you know, the circles, Quran circles, continued with my father. And I remember when I was in, I think in Thanawi already, about maybe class 10, 11. And in one of these, at that time, subhanAllah, I don't know what happened to me, but for some reason, I felt like I'm knowledge enough, and I don't necessarily like need to sit in these halaqas. Mm-hmm. I know how to read. I know how to read Quran now. I'm class 10 or 12. I can't remember exactly, but I felt like khalas. I know. You know. It's. But subhanAllah, I said, even though of course I'll sit in these halaqas with my father. So, to my astonishment, a couple of times he corrected me in my reading, and these were akhta jaliya. Mm-hmm. You know, it's clear mistakes of pronunciation or reading words of the Quran. And I was like, every time he corrected me a word, I was like, you know, I'm
surprised.
Yeah. Yes, I lift my head or my eyes and look at him and said, how did you know this? You did not study. We did not go to school here. You did not go to the Arabic school. So how did you know? That was in my head, you know. But alhamdulillah, that's how it continued. And from there, I started reading more in tafsir. And I had a relative also who used to come to our house frequently. And every time he found a piece of paper anywhere, or newspaper anywhere, he would bring it to me. Read this. So subhanAllah, it grew up, you know, in my head that reading is something very important. And also from collecting of stamps, I started learning more and more. And subhanAllah, with the book fair, you know, it's a Muscat book fair starting during that time. I went to the first book fair that was opened in Oman. And collected a couple of books in tafsir.
Mashallah.
And a couple of books in, you know, a hadith. And from there, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. I love that, you know, you made that assumption about yourself that you know enough.
Yes.
And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed you know nothing.
Yes.
With all due respect, yani.
Yes, true.
Because even the reading, yani, he didn't bring you something very complicated for you to realize. A simple reminder that you can make a mistake.
Mm-hmm. And these were, you know, simple words like وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ, you know, the dua of Sayyidina Ibrahim, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Ismail, and وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ, you know, it means like when he was asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make him and his son Ismail Muslims. I was reading it مُسْلِمِينَ لَكَ, and he said مُسْلِمَيْنِ, my father, and I was like, what?
And you remember exactly
I remember the words. I remember the word which he corrected me, lahnan jaliyan, and it was like, and then there's another place, walidaini, and it was walidaini, not walidina.
Subhanallah. I remember one a guest of mine last season, I think it was Ihab al-Hajj, if I'm not mistaken, he said that the Quran humbles you.
It does. And since then, I made myself a student to everybody.
MashaAllah.
Everybody. Regardless who that person is. Regardless of the age of the person. I decided to become a student.
MashaAllah. I can only imagine. That's very humbling. But something that we all need to do. To constantly remember that we are students. We are servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm. And we are students. We can learn from so many people. There's a caller that always calls Hamid. He's, 14, 13. Call me to correct me, Hamid. I don't know. But he, mashallah, so much hikmah. He's listening and then he comes and he gives us something that my guest and I just looking at each other thinking, mashallah, this boy is so young.
Mashallah.
But again, we learn from others, no matter what. Who they are, as you said, and what age they are, subhanallah. If Abla Hannat, I were to ask you, is there a moment that you felt, apart from this one, that was eye-opening for you when it came to the Quran? Is it like a tafsir you read? Is it an ayah that you came through that not shook you, but kida gave you that, like Noor, something like that, like an aha moment. I won't say favorite ayah because we all ayahs, as we said before, subhanAllah, have an impact depending on how you read and when you read and how you feel about it.
Exactly true. I remember during my teens, I was reading in Surah Al-Baqarah, the ayah about, subhanAllah, I'll read it in Arabic.
Mm-hmm. And I'll try and find it.
Yeah, inshallah. The ayah, it's from Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 235.
Okay.
It's chapter number 2 for those who want to follow up. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولا جناح عليكم فيما عرضتم به من خطبة النساء أو أكننتم في أنفسكم علم الله أنكم ستذكرونهن ولكن لا تواعدوهن سرا.
I will read the translation and then you can talk about it. So 235 in Surah Al-Baqarah, there is no blame upon you for that to which you indirectly allude concerning a proposal to women or for what you conceal within yourselves. Okay. I will just pause here. We'll just take this call with Hamid.
Okay.
With the boy I was just talking about. Assalamu alaikum, Hamid.
Alaykum salam. How are you guys?
I'm fine, alhamdulillah. How are you?
I'm very good. I have two things I want to talk about. First thing is about my age. I'm 12. I'm 11. I'm turning 12 on May 9th. I'm turning 12.
Inshallah. Thank you for correcting me.
And I wanted to comment about your day, about how her connection with her father is and how her father her father is teaching her. Just wanted to say that it's not the same for everyone. People's fathers are, you know, too busy to come and spend time usually working or just this is even with my father. The only time I get with my father is when in Fajr, Ba'd Salat al-Fajr, we read Quran together. That's the most chance I get as he's sick now and he has a lot of work to do. As it's a father's job, but not with your guest father. I forgot the name.
Abla Hannat.
Her father makes time for her. It's really wonderful to hear.
Thank you so much, Hamid, for calling and for sharing that with you. And may Allah grant strength to your father and heal him and all fathers, inshallah, to be able to do this with their children, for their children, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ameen.
Thank you so much, Hamid Baba.
Okay, that's all. Thank you. Bye.
Ma salama.
Thank you, Hamid. Jazakallah khair. Barakallah feek. Ahsan.
Ameen. Ma salama.
Ma salama, Baba. So you see what I mean?
Yes. So as he said, you know, the father doesn't need to spend the whole day or a whole hour even. 15 minutes should be enough, or even 1 minute. It depends on how that 1 minute is utilized. You know, because as I said, my father corrected me with one ayah that made an impact in my life until today. And I did not forget it.
SubhanAllah, this is really something I feel all of us should do. All of us who are parents should do this with our children. We owe it to ourselves and our children. And it's a way of just saying, yani, thank you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us these children. Mm-hmm. That we can do this. Some people want children and Allah has not blessed them in His wisdom. And those who have, then let's not waste this beautiful gifts that we have, that given to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to share this beautiful light with our children.
Ameen. Ameen.
I thought we had a caller, but no. But please call back. You're always welcome to join us by calling 246-02-058, 246-02-058. Abla Hanif, before the call, we were talking about that ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 235. And I read the translation. So what was, you said this was in Thanawiyyah, you had read it?
Yes, I read this in my teens, even before Thanawiyyah, I believe. And subhanAllah, see, the impact of Quran on me, I think I can divide that into three stages. During my childhood, let's say before the age of, let's say 15 maybe, it was mainly, or even before the age of 10 maybe, it was mainly, I know, I'm not sure if it's the right word that I'm using here to describe this. It's musical. You know, when you find ayat or sajah, it's wal-fajr, wal-layalin ashr, you know, or awtada, you know, this, So during my childhood, this is what was attracting me to the Quran. You know, the al-fann al-bayani. I didn't know the meaning. I don't understand the meaning of what I was reading. But that,
the weight of the words and how they ended, their endings.
Yes.
Yes.
That what attracted me, and not me only, but with other children in the halaqa, we used to look at each other. If your turn to read the surah or the verses that have those ending, we would look at each other and giggling, you know, that, right, oh, it's my turn and I will be reading this particular verse and it has this ending.
Okay, we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Hello.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hello, mama. How are you?
I'm good. Who's on?
Alhamdulillah. Who's on the line?
It's me. My name is Aya.
Aya. Okay, Aya. Tfadhali. You can speak.
So, me and my sister, we were just wondering, what do you think is the most like powerful ayah? Like, what do you think is the most like how should I say it? The meaningful.
What is the most meaningful ayah?
Yeah.
Okay, this question is for Abla Hannat, right? Not for me. Abla Hannat. Okay.
Okay, so maybe what I was talking about will be something, an answer, part of the answer for this one.
Okay, if you can just, okay, it's all right. You just listen to the answer, Mama, and make sure you leave your number with Ahmed because you'll win a copy of the Quran.
Okay.
Okay, Habibti. Thank you for calling, Aya.
Yeah, welcome.
Okay, Abla Hannat, before you respond to that, we'll just take a short break and then we'll come back, inshallah, to talk more about the Aya.
Inshallah.
You can call us on 246-02-058. We would love to hear from you.
Welcome back to Love Your Life on Oman FM with me, Maya Al-Saeed, in the studio. I have the honor of having Abla Hannat Al-Hinai. And just before the break, we got a call from lovely Aya, who was asking the question to Abla Hannat about what is the most powerful ayah. And Abla Hannat will continue, but I just want to give some context. We had already started with the verse of Surah Al-Baqarah, 235. So she said, so it's over to you, Abla Hannat.
Okay. Jazakumullah khair. Thank you, Aya, for calling and asking your question. Beautiful question. So the answer is, during my teens, maybe like your age, I was reading this ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 235. And the impact it had on me was immense. Although I did not understand much of it, or I didn't understand much of the Quran at that time as well. Even if I read the tafsir, but it wouldn't, you know, the same understanding as if I read it today. But when I came to the part, وَلَكِنْ لَا تُوَاعِدُوهُنَّ سِرًّا, and I was like, what? This is Allah telling us, actually telling men, telling Shabab. To me, they were Shabab then. Not to make secret
dates
and relationships with girls.
In secrecy, not to do that in secrecy.
No. And since then, that ayah impacted me so much. And I said, this is it, no more. Well, alhamdulillah, I didn't have any secret relationships, but it was the guide for me not to do any of that things in my life.
SubhanAllah. And you got the message at such a young age, mashallah.
Yes, alhamdulillah. So that was one of the ayah that really impacted me and shaped the way I look at the other side of humanity or the other sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. That and actually, this ayah made me see every man or every shab or every young man who does such things, you know, in secrecy with girls, very low. I looked at them like they are, you know, like I disvalued them, basically. And of course, I prayed for them, for Allah to guide them. And also, I felt pity for the girls that they didn't read and understand and got the message that they got.
That Allah is protecting us, subhanAllah.
Alhamdulillah. And then the next ayah that related to this one as well is also in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 189, which says, أعوذ بالله وليس البر بأن تأتوا البيوت من ظهورها ولكن البر من اتقى وأتوا البيوت من أبوابها. So,
wait, I think 189, صح?
Yes.
وليس البر. Right. I'm just getting the translation. They ask you, oh Muhammad. No, that's not the same.
Yeah, it's a part of it.
Okay, now I got it. The English as well is.
Yes.
Okay, and it is not, so it's the second part of the ayah, and it is not righteousness to enter houses from the back, but righteousness is in who fears Allah and enters houses from their doors, and fear Allah that you may succeed. Allahu Akbar.
Yes.
Again, similar.
Yeah, exactly. Same message here. That men, boys, shabab should enter houses not from windows but from the doors. No secret relationships, no secret, you know, mawa'id, appointments, I don't know what, dates. Yeah. So this is something that, alhamdulillah, shaped my, you know, my life. From very early on, alhamdulillah.
Now I would add on, no secret messages.
Messages, yes.
DMs, I slide onto your DMs, none of that. SubhanAllah, may Allah make it easy for those who want to be together in halal, because SubhanAllah, because you choose to do the right thing, it's the hardest thing to do. Because you want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's the hardest thing to do. If you want to disobey, if you want to sin, there are so many options available to you and easily.
La ilaha illallah.
Lil asaf.
Yes.
Allah Hannat is the reality.
Yes, true. Yes.
But if you have the guide and your heart and your environment, الصحبة, the people around you, are all people pious and have a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you, بإذن الله تعالى, and your actions will be guided by the Quran, mm-hmm. by the Sunnah, and by the environment that you're in.
Absolutely.
If you want to join us on this beautiful episode and conversation that I'm having with Abla Hannat, you're more than welcome to do so by calling 2460-2058. Abla Hannat, you got so many strong messages, mashallah, at such a young age. I feel, as always, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a way of guiding His ummah, His people, to always remind them of the right path.
Mm-hmm.
But, and we always, once we get the information, it is up to us to choose. We want to listen and obey, mm-hmm. or we choose not to, for whatever reason. Excuses, whatever it is. It's hard, it's difficult, I can't do this, blah, blah, blah. But if you choose that, it shapes your life and changes you as a person entirely.
Absolutely.
And I feel I can see that because of this ayah, as you said, it had an impact. I can imagine how it impacted your life. You said no to so many things because you know this would displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you only chose those that came through the door. And however Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned your life is the best way.
Mm-hmm.
Subhanallah, for He is the best of planners.
Absolutely. You go and choose according to His satisfaction, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, before you choose or before you talk to somebody or you make any relationship, you check first against this ayah. How did this person come? Through the door or through the window or through what?
Mm. And what is the intention?
And what is the intention exactly?
Subhanallah. Now it seems that we're talking about more about relationships, but as my guest Rehab yesterday reminded me that everything is about the Quran. Everything that we talk about, so cooking, books, relationships, everything is mentioned in the Quran, for this is our guide, subhanAllah. Mm-hmm. But although we are reading, we are talking about the Quran and how it guides us, and I love that we're going in different aspects, so you can see that, yes, it is indeed a guide for us, but we need to go to it.
Mm-hmm.
We need to understand, we need to study the Quran. So it enters our hearts and it changes us. We need to have that intention.
Yes.
And I believe that's what you had from a very young age, mashallah.
With the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from whom, as I said, the guidance of my father, Allah rahmah. Those halaqas had, alhamdulillah, beautiful impact on my life.
And so did this continue as well after you got married and you had your children?
Unfortunately not.
Subhanallah.
Unfortunately. But I had mine in my house.
Mm.
I try to, as much as I can, to have halaqah with my children at my house.
And even though it's not available, and as Humaid said earlier, not everybody gets that opportunity. But again, it's not an excuse. يعني, whatever your situation is, you should always try and do your part. Even though whatever other half of your relationship is not, or it's non-existent, or whatever it is, let's not take it as an excuse.
Yes, and it doesn't have to be every day.
Mm. Ah, beautiful.
Yes, okay. It doesn't have to be every day. It can be once a week or once every 2 weeks, whatever the time permits. But they are there. These halaqas are there.
It's like once you commit to it, you be consistent.
Yes.
Subhanallah. Yes. Very true. Consistency is now in this day in life is something very hard. Huh?
Yes.
We have so many distractions that being consistent in one thing is difficult. But again, it's going back to the choice, the intention, the purpose. Choice, intention, and purpose.
Yes.
Now, Abla Hannat, the work that you do now, how... يعني, I know now you volunteer. And as well, I can imagine if you didn't have this strong foundation... I don't know what path, subhanAllah, Allah would have taken you, but because you had this and it's always been your guide, and now you're doing something even more, mashallah, which, although I commend you, but I feel we should all be doing what you're doing.
Yes, and it doesn't have to be, something that you have to go somewhere, you have to go out of your way, you have to go out of your house, to travel. You can do it from like what you're doing, You can do it, mashallah, online. You can do it from your home. Mm. You can do it with your children. You can do it with your neighbors. You can do it with when you go shopping.
When I go shopping?
Yes, you can. Definitely.
Mashallah.
How can you exhibit the Quran through your dealings, your fiqh al-mu'amalat?
Mashallah.
You know, when you buy, when you sell, when you discuss about a product, you have your own product or your own project, for example. How do you incorporate Quran into your project? The way you do it, you know, you choose the halal thing, you go through the halal process, and that's how you bring Quran, and that's how you do exactly more than what I'm doing even.
Subhanallah.
So, as the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed us, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَة, you know, like, even one verse that we need to share, that we should, you know, conduct on and send, you know, or share with other people, then it doesn't have to be the whole Quran, mm-hmm. the entire Quran. For example, one of the things that, you know, impacted on my life as well, the ayah about the behaviors. For example, let me see if I can find the ayah here. Mm-hmm. On how I behave when I go to the shop, when I buy something, you know, about the riba, mm-hmm. you know, the usury. Also about the zakat, how I pay zakat, how much I pay zakat. Where do I get that one from?
The Quran.
Yes. And if I stick to that, see the impact of that on my life, on my money, my wealth, and also on the neighborhood or the people around me.
The community. SubhanAllah. As you said, Yani, there's so many things I feel many of us maybe might be hearing this for the first time. Really? I learn about relationships for the Quran? Abla Hanna just gave you an ayah from there that's impacted her life. I learn about mu'amalat, about dealings, about zakah, all of that from the Quran. Yes, everything is available in the Quran. But as I said, yani, you have to read. And this is the title, Abla Hanna, that you chose for this episode. You said, read. It's quite simple.
Mm.
It's very simple.
Very simple. Just read. Subhanallah. Just read. And subhanallah, how do I know? How did I get the facts of life? There is death. And there's no coming back. How did I know that? So I don't live in fantasy.
Yeah.
You see? How do I know that there's a day of judgment? So I know I try to live or to lead a good life. So these are the facts. You cannot dispute these facts.
Mm.
Nobody can say, no, there's no death.
Oh, well, we see it every day.
So nobody can say, no, there's no death. You will live khalidan mukhaladan.
You live eternally forever.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't feel I want to live eternally. Not here, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Inshallah, yeah. May Allah, may we be for those who win, بإذن الله تعالى, Jannah, بإذن الله, Jannah al-Firdaus, بإذن الله تعالى.
Yeah, so Quran gives you facts that you know that these facts, no one else can tell you about them or give them to you except the Quran. And these facts, nobody can dispute them as well. So once you have these facts, you shape your life accordingly. You prepare for the hereafter. You prepare for the leaving this world. And you deal with people accordingly.
Mm.
You know, you want to leave behind something good.
Yes.
You know that you'll be living this life. So you want to leave, especially if you see people who were on this earth before, and their imprints are still with us today.
SubhanAllah, very
so
true.
We talk about the ulama, we talk about, you know, the scholars, the scientists, all of them. They left something for us until today. They've been dead since, I don't know.
A very long time.
Yeah, Sahaba, prophets. Yeah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Why don't we want to be like them?
It's something that I feel everyone knows this, Allah Hannat. Everyone knows that we're leaving, but we don't take action. And the thing that makes it, we should feel this pressure is because we don't know when we're leaving.
Maybe. I like the, when I laughed or smiled because when you said we should feel this pressure, for some reason we don't.
No, we don't. We feel like...
Although we always, almost every day or if not every week or every month, we say goodbye to loved ones or some, you know, a neighbor or somebody we know. And we don't feel that pressure in our lives. Subhanallah.
We have a caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for calling me. You know who's on the line?
Yes, I think she knows already.
She needs a name.
She needs a name. My name is Ra'man Al-Khaifi. I'm her daughter.
Okay, then we'll blame the radio.
I just wanted to say that I'm very proud of my mother for being on the show.
Yeah. Thank you, Rima.
I'm glad that she's representing Omani women in a good way. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
And she's a really good inspiration for us as her kids. And we're very happy that she's there.
Alhamdulillah. And I'm happy to have her as well. You want to say something to your daughter, Abla Hannat?
Oh, mashallah. Shukran for the surprise. Thank you so much. Inshallah, Allah will guide us all to the right path. Inshallah. And we'll keep reading Quran together, inshallah.
Since I have you on the line, I want to take this opportunity to tell you, you have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this mother that you have. She is a gem. Many, many women, many daughters pray to have a mother like this. Okay,
yes,
but
I'm very thankful.
Alhamdulillah. This is to all mothers out there. We have a responsibility to our children. And we have here a live in action right in front of me of how she has impacted and used the Quran to raise her children. And even as she ended, she said, we'll continue to read Quran together. Who says that to their children? فما شاء الله هنيئاً لكم على هذه الرزق هذا الرزق من الله سبحانه وتعالى.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Jazakallah
khair. Shukran, Rahman. Abla Hannat was not expecting this call. That's why she didn't even recognize your voice. Thank you, Habibti. I think we have another call, Ahmed. Yes. I have to thank Ahmed Al-Arimi, who has been with me from the beginning of the show, always, mashallah, pleasure to work with, very dedicated, and always seamlessly puts the calls through. Jazakallah khair, Ahmed. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
How are you, brother?
Hi, thank you. This is Muhammad Al-Baskari.
Tfadhal, Muhammad.
I've listening to your very good, excellent program about, and this is the month of the Quran, actually.
Yes.
So if you look at it, it's we are being gifted for the month and the year of the holy month and the holy days of Quran. And this is the time, actually, I think it's really good to talk about Quran because we hit. It's our cure, it's our guide, it's everything in our life.
Very true.
Now, I want to share with you a small story. When I was living in Dubai in my early teens years, I was really ill, and I went to the hospital and do all the medical, it was all clear. And then there was this old man, he's blind, but he knows, he recites Quran by heart. So he caught my hand and he read some ayah of Quran. I could not sleep. We were living in a very old house, it's quite old, and there was something there where I could not sleep. So I was wondering what's going on in my life. This old man, Shakhsi Allah, he read some ayah of Quran, and from that day I was cured. So he didn't only convey the spirit of Quran, but he made me from those days not leaving the prayers until today.
MashaAllah.
It was really, I could, you know, like from those days, I felt that Quran is our everything in life. Without Quran, we're nothing.
SubhanAllah.
And you can see that the people who don't believe in Quran, they commit suicide, they get fed up of life, they get depressed, all those things. But with Quran, as you, as Abla Hanat, Sister Hanat, she said, it's the day of living, I mean, it's the way of living. You can do, you can see everything, the mirab, the way of dealing with riba, the way of dealing with, you know, everything in life, even the relationship with wife, children, father, mother, it's all there in the Quran. So we need only to go through it and try to understand it more, not to read like a parrot when we were young.
Very true. Jazakallah.
I just want to share this small story, which really affected me from the time I teenagers till today. Just because of Quran, I think that's when who I am now.
MashaAllah. Jazakallah khair, Brother Muhammad, for calling and sharing this. It is indeed, yeah. As you said, it's our guide and it's a healing for us, subhanAllah. Please leave your, speak to Ahmed, because you have one copy of the Clear Quran. May inshallah you use it and may it continue to bring you light or gift it to somebody who feel you needs it. Jazakallah khair. Thank you, Muhammad.
Jazakallah khair. Very beautiful story. I could see you.
Inshallah. I get emotional when I hear. You know why, Abla Hanat, I get emotional? Because I feel that we have this beautiful gift, but we don't use it. We don't read it. It's sad.
During the Ta'aruf event, probably you heard Brother Hamza, the guest of... I don't know if you were there at the end of the session when a sister asked a question.
No.
Okay, the sister asked a question about the impact of Quran if somebody has no hope.
SubhanAllah.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful question, yeah. But very strong one, SubhanAllah. And Brother Hamza, of course, said, don't despair. Quran is there for you to give you that hope. And he read the verses, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ.
I'm looking for it in the app.
Yes. And says the Quran is there to talk to you, especially you are the one who feel like you have no hope in life or no hope in people. This is why this Quran is there. This book is there for you.
The ayah is in Surah Az-Zumar, ayah 53. And it is, say, O my servants who have transgressed themselves against themselves by sinning, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, it is He who is the forgiving, the merciful.
SubhanAllah. Because the sister said that it's somebody who feels that the sin has been encompassed.
I know what you mean.
Engulfed. يعني سيئاتي يعني محاط بالسيئات.
He's so engulfed in, and they're engulfed in their sins.
In their sins, and they feel like, how can I get out of this? There's no way to get out of my sins.
And shaitan is right there.
Absolutely, that's what they like. You know, the shaitan is there exactly for somebody like that. You know, and to make this person more, you know, lose hope in the mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. But if we read Quran, that's why I say read Quran. Read Quran. Because if you read Quran, you'll find this verse and many other verses that will give you hope and they'll tell you that shaitan is wrong. And whoever's telling you that your sins are not forgivable or unforgivable, no, that they're not correct. You know? So Quran gives you hope in everything you do. And also Quran will give us patience and perseverance.
SubhanAllah.
We need that for everything almost in our life.
And it's one of those things that's very hard to do.
And very highly rewarded.
SubhanAllah. I tell her something, she gives me.
Yes. Highly rewarded. So it's like if in business language, high risk, high reward.
Yes.
This is it. High risk, high reward. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepare us for this episode of needing of high patience or a lot of patience in Surah Al-Baqarah again. So see how incredible Surah Al-Baqarah is.
Yes.
When he says, definitely in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 154, I believe. Which you see is...
I'm trying to look for it. Mm-hmm. My fingers are not typing. 154?
Yeah.
Bismillah. I'm still, wait. Do you know the beginning of the ayah? Okay, I'm nearly there. 154. Alhamdulillah. A'udhu shaitan rajim wa la taqulu. That one?
Before that? It's about...
استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
Yeah. واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة. And then after that, the one after that,
يا أيها الذي...
hold on. The one next. So I know it's the second page of it. SubhanAllah. Sorry, I don't have the Quran with me.
Here,
my phone
one.
Is off. Yes. Yeah. So, وَلَنَبُلْوَنَّكُمْ.
Okay.
There. So just the one after
just
that.
I have a very long arms. I was able to give her my phone for her to look at it. So it's the ayah. 155. So, Abla Hannat, you were close. And it says, we will surely test you with something of fear and hunger and a loss of wealth and lives and fruits, but give good tidings to the patient. Yes, subhanAllah. This reminds me of what's happening now.
Yes. So, if you read this ayah constantly, frequently, and what impact would this ayah have on you or has on you? Definitely.
It will calm me down. SubhanAllah, I will know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows my struggles.
It's not only knows your struggle, but he's telling us that the struggle will come to you.
Can't run away.
Don't run away.
Dar al-imtihan,
yes. It says this struggle, you will be struggling. You will have trials. You will lose people, loved ones. You will lose money. You will, you know, your projects might fail. But what is?
Yeah, but what is? You want to?
You know, think the what do you need to do? Be patient.
Be patient. Abla Hannat, we have come to the end of the time that we have allocated. Unfortunately, I know because it's the Quran, 1 hour is not enough. Absolutely. We need many hours. May Allah grant us those hours, inshallah, on Oman FM. Bi-Innillahi ta'ala. Thank you so much, Abla Hannat, for coming. May Allah continue to guide you and give you the noor bi-idhnillah, so you can continue spreading it to the ummah bi-idhnillah ta'ala. Thank you so much, listeners, for calling and for participating and sharing your reflections with us. Jazakumullah khair. I'll see you tomorrow, inshallah, with another guest, engineer Hamid Ash'ili bi-idhnillah ta'ala on Oman FM. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.